Hello, welcome to Yahweh Christian Broadcast. This is a special update, feeling led by God to come on this broadcast today because we have an urgent request to pray for Israel because of all the calamity and all of the attacks that are going on right now. And I have got guest and friend and mentor, Pastor Sherry Ezell from Groundbreakers International Hub out of Kinston, North Carolina. Thank you once again, Sherry, for coming on the show.
Oh, my pleasure.
Yes, Sherry and I have been praying before we started this broadcast, and our hearts are really perplexed about what's going on in the Middle East. Sherry, you have been to Israel how many times?
I think 16, 17, somewhere around there.
Yes. And so I've only been to Israel once, but I fell in love with the area. I fell in love because, you know, that's where my Savior walked. And I have you to thank for sparking that interest and inviting people to go with you. You are an excellent tour guide, along with Yaron, who takes us, you know. Everything that Yaron said that I didn't get the first time because maybe the ADHD was kicking in, I'd ask Sherry and she would always have the answer. So,
yes.
So that's henceforth, that is why you've been invited on this live, because you have so much knowledge about going on. So Sherry, just start off with the importance of why we as Christians need to be interceding for Israel and not just let this go.
Right. Well, of course, the Bible tells us to intercede for Israel. It tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. It tells us that we will be blessed when we support and pray for Israel, that those who bless her will be blessed and those who curse her will be cursed. So because of that, the church has to take on an aspect of prayer regarding Israel that is not just normal intercession, but it needs to raise to the level of extreme intercession for her, of crying out, of groanings that no man can know, that the Spirit must pray through us at this time. We don't know what God's will is in everything. He doesn't give us every single little piece of it, but he tells us to pray for his will to be done, because we need to understand the scriptures. We need to understand what's coming, and we need to pray that the Lord will cause what needs to happen in these last days.
Amen. And, you know, one of my prayers has been for the Lord to wake up the slumbering church. We need to be woken up. And, you know, today there was a call in your church that I attended at Groundbreakers in Kinston. And the whole service was worship the Lord your God. We got our praise on today at church. And we also interceded. You know, there wasn't even a message that was given from the pulpit today, because we just let the Holy Spirit, you know, the people in leadership today, let the Holy Spirit move. And it became a church service where we all got on our faces at the altar and prayed earnestly for Israel.
We need that.
Yes. Prayed supernatural protection. Yeah, it was like there was no time agenda. There was no one was looking at their watches. They were just praying and crying out to God on behalf of God's people and his land. So, yeah. You know, we need more of that in our churches.
Amen. I mean, we need to become a house of prayer like the Bible tells us to be, that his house will be known as a house of prayer. It doesn't say a house of preaching. It doesn't say a house of singing. It says it will be known as a house of prayer. So may we get back to prayer, Elke. I know that's something really big for you. It's something on my heart as well. And we want to see our churches really get together and become houses of prayer.
Amen. And you know, Sherry, I was watching some videos, young lady that is in Israel, and I think you said she was the daughter of
Eckstein. Yes.
Eckstein. Yes.
Right.
She's a beautiful girl, and she was showing the rocket videos and the videos of the attack of the UAVs that are being launched over from Iran, and Iran is claiming responsibility. They're calling it a revolution, so to speak. But one thing that really struck me was it showed all of these like three different waves of over 100 UAVs or UVAs. And these are like smaller airplane type drones. They're not your little bitty drones. They're like bigger, like aircraft that's unmanned. Right. And it's like a kamikaze UVA. So it's like a suicide drone, so to speak, but much larger. And the report that we got, you got the same report I did from the tour guide, you know, in Israel, saying that these came in waves of over 100 of these UVAs three different times. And it was scheduled to hit Israel between 2 o'clock a.m. to 4:30 during the night last night.
Right.
And so that is heartbreaking. When you see these videos and you hear all of these sirens going off all during the night and people having to get up out of their beds and go underground for an undisclosed amount of time. Children, right. Everybody trying to sleep. I mean, this is how they have to live.
Right. And
that's what breaks my heart. So we're here on this side. We're enjoying our little church service. We're enjoying our little life. Oh, it's a pretty day. Oh, we're sleeping in peace and safety. While every day, I remember Yaron, the tour guide, and his wife, Simone, saying that the rockets have never stopped. It's every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like to elaborate on that?
Yes. I mean, this is a lifestyle for Israel, but we don't need to make it a trivial thing. It's something that is really serious. If you had to, in your home, have to have a special room that you've got together so that very periodically you have to go and run in this room and try to keep safe from something falling on your house from the sky, that would totally cause America to change how we do things. I mean, Americans wouldn't put up with it. And right now, the administration over our land right now is expecting Israel to say, well, this is okay. We can deal with this. And it shouldn't be. We should not expect any sovereign nation to just take that and not try to do anything about it. Because here's the thing. This is the reason why Israel will retaliate. It will. And she will, because she knows that not retaliating will cause it to happen again and again and again. And in fact, Iran has said, if something happens, we're going to send something even greater your way. So we have to understand how it works with Israel. It's not like America. They don't have peace and safety like we do. Their peace and safety is, well, nothing dropped on my house today. So it's totally different than what we know. And we need to try to understand what it's like to live in Israel and daily have to worry about these things. Daily have to worry about Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran, the Houthis. All of this coming together is like a catastrophe on the nation.
Yes, it is. And, you know, and Netanyahu keeps getting pressure from our president and I'm sure the United Nations in saying, hey, you need to do a ceasefire. Well, hello, Israel did not cause this October 7th massacre, which happened 50 years from the Yom Kippur War on the same date, you know, and now it's close to Passover and this other attack from all these other nations, not to mention that, you know, last night during the night, all these missiles and all these drones, you know, these UVAs came to Israel, but also Israel has had to intercept missiles that are coming from Syria. And not only that, but then Lebanon, I saw videos of the young lady from Israel was sending videos of rocket fire constantly coming from Lebanon. So they're getting it from every angle.
Yes.
And as far as east as Iran is, so it's coming all around. You know, it's just unbelievable. And Netanyahu says, if we put our weapons down, we get annihilated.
Right.
You know, he doesn't have a choice. And so this is what is so alarming, that we as a nation in America, we have to intercede and pray that we do the right thing in supporting them. Because what does the Bible say, Sherry, about if you bless Israel?
Of course. If you bless her, bless you. You curse her, I will curse you. And just remember, guys, when you're casting votes, you're casting votes for people that are either blessing Israel or cursing her. So be careful what you're doing. Make sure. And a lot of people say, well, you know, God's going to do what he's got to do. I don't have to worry about this. That is not biblical for the church, Christians, to say, let's just stand by and watch this happen. We are participants in the end time. It never in your Bible says that we are to be like the sitting back, watching things happen and not be participants in it. We are the people who pray. We are the people who intercede for these things. We are the people who stand in the gap. Yes. We are those people. The Bible wouldn't tell us that we're a kingdom of kings and priests on the earth, and we are to build the kingdom of God. He's not talking about building utopia. Come on. Utopia is heaven. He's talking about building something that will stand the test of time in order to raise up the name of Jesus among the nations. We are to be those that preach all around the world. He said that the end will not come until we have preached the gospel to the four corners of the world. Come on, he never says we are to sit back and become complacent. We need to pray that the church gets out of complacency, that we read the word of God for ourselves and understand what it is saying for us to do. We are to read this and do what it says. And it says for us to intercede. It says for us to stand in the gap. It says for us to do things in the earth. Jesus didn't stand by and watch while Rome did whatever it wanted. He did things. He wasn't the you know, I'm going to be radical and all of this. He was the Son of God that came to this earth, that raised up a standard, and he raised up the standard to say, I may not be in the political mainstream, but I'm in the political things that are happening in this land. Give to Caesar what is Caesar, but give to God what is God's. And he absolutely stood for Israel being the land of God, the land of his promise. Read what he said about Israel, and it will capture your heart just like it did mine. If you've never been, I'm telling you, Israel will capture your heart because it is the land that Jesus walked on. It is the land where he was born, where he died, where he was risen again. And all of these things are important. Why are they important? Because from that ground cries out, Jesus, come quickly. From that ground, it is like there is, if you stand on the Mount of Olives and you look over to the Eastern Gate, that the Bible tells you the Eastern Gate will be closed off until the Messiah comes again, and you see it's closed. When you're standing there on the Mount of Olives, it's like you can feel the trembling. You can feel the earth crying out, Lord Jesus, even so, come quickly.
Yes, and wasn't it Suleiman that had cement because the Messiah was prophesied to do that? So the Eastern Gate is sealed off with concrete.
Yes.
Magnificent. He was not magnificent. It was the Ottoman Empire. He covered it up with concrete. The Eastern Gate, all the other gates are open except that one. And then they put a cemetery in front of it because it's unholy for Jewish people to walk through cemetery. Like, we're going to do everything we can to stop this prophecy from coming true. But I'm here to tell you right now, the prophecy's coming true. Jesus is coming back. We need to wake up, church. We need to pray like we've never prayed before. We need to think about Jerusalem. We need to think about these people who are going through torment every day and do everything in our power to pray for Israel every day. Pray for Netanyahu. Pray for the Knesset. Pray for the civilians. Pray for the military. And this is what I did in your church today, Sherry. I said, Lord, all of these enemies that have risen up with murder in their hearts.
Right.
I pray for their souls. While I'm praying for this to stop, I petition you, God, right now to save their souls. I pray for a mighty encounter that'll change their life forever, Lord. I'm praying for a Damascus Road turnaround conversion, just like it happened for the Apostle Paul. Lord, while we're praying for protection, we petition you for the saving of souls for these people who want to annihilate Israel. Why not pray for everything? Just go ahead and pray for everybody to get saved. Amen. I mean, that's what we're here for.
You know?
Oh, I feel the presence of the Lord. I don't know about you. I know you feel the presence.
Absolutely. I feel the presence of the Lord in this because God's heart is for Israel. I'm telling you, his heartbeat. He said, I will put my name over Jerusalem. And when you read scriptures like this about how the Lord is going to put his name there, how when he comes back, he's not going to put his foot in Washington, D.C. He's not going to put his foot at Mount Rushmore. He's going to put his foot on the Mount of Olives. And he is going to be there in that land. It says that it will split wide open. He doesn't have to step foot on a cemetery because it's going to split it wide open. And we are going to see him come back. The Bible says every eye will be able to see him. And I believe that with all my heart because I've been there and standing on that ground, you can feel the yearning of the land for the coming of the Messiah. It's not just the people yearning. It's the land is yearning.
Yes. So I would like to just kind of address this about, you know, people, you know, last week, everybody was so worried about the eclipse and buy groceries. And, you know, I thought, is a snow apocalypse coming? Why are we going to buy groceries and get all worried about an eclipse? You know,
right.
I didn't see the big deal. And here it didn't even get cloudy where we are. But, you know, people will say, oh, there's a lot of earthquakes. We're having a lot of this. We're having a lot of that. Jesus is coming back soon. Signs, 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 signs. And they're thinking every time something happens in the United States. But that is not what the Bible says. No. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24 that there'll be diverse earthquakes in many, many places, famines, right. pestilences, sicknesses. He said that is just the beginning of the time of sorrows. Because prophecy, Sherry, revolves around Israel. If you want to know if the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back, we've been having hurricanes, we've been having volcanoes. All of this has gone on in a cycle throughout the world, and it is increasing, and we can see that. But if you want to know the imminent return of the Lord, it is all revolves around Israel, not what's happening in the United States. We are a small part of this huge world. It's what's happening right now. Would you like to speak on that?
Sure. Israel is God's timeline. Israel, the Bible tells us, keep your eyes on Israel. You will know the signs of the times because God will shift it from the Gentiles back to Israel. And we are seeing that in our lifetime. We are seeing that right now. This attack that Iran just did on Israel is the largest attack that has been done in the history of the nations. This attack had more drones, missiles, ballistic missiles, all of that. It was greater than anything we have seen in history. Come on, we need to understand what is happening in our time. Don't put your head in the sand. Look at Israel. Her timeline is God's timeline. And when you see the nations rallying around her, and please know that even Putin this week said, if the U.S. gets involved in this, we're coming against the United States. Come on, read Ezekiel 38 and 39. Read what it says. It says that the very nations we're talking about right now, Persia, which is Iran, we're talking about Gog and Magog. We're talking about Russia. We're talking about Meshach and Tubal, which is Turkey. When we're talking about these nations, they are in your Bible. You just have to know what the names were back then. Read Ezekiel 38 and 39. We are not in the battle of Gog and Magog right now, but we certainly on the outskirts of it. We certainly are seeing it come together. We are seeing the very nations that over 3,000 years ago, Ezekiel told us was going to happen. We are seeing those very nations unite right now in 2024.
And that is scary when you start talking about the Gog and Magog. You know, Gog, for those who may not know, what does Gog and Magog mean? Gog refers to the man and Magog refers to the land. So the man of the land, Gog and Magog. And we know that in the Bible, it prophesies that there will be an army coming from the north. And right. Russia is the biggest country from the north of Israel. And there will be a highway that they will travel on because the Euphrates River will dry up and it will become a highway for this military attack against Israel. And right. What's happened to the Euphrates, Sherry?
It's dried up.
A river that was present during the time of the Garden of Eden, the Euphrates River, that has been a vibrant river all these years, is dried up.
Right. So
prophecy is right there, just like you said, Ezekiel chapter 38 through 39.
Right.
So it would do us well to read it and study it.
And you also know? It says that the Dead Sea will come back to life, that yes. that fish will be found in the Dead Sea. And we are seeing that come to pass as well. The Dead Sea now has fresh life coming into it, and fish are able to be in this water. Come on. If you don't believe in Bible prophecy, you would almost need to have your head examined right now. It's like, what in the world? We are seeing these very things come to pass, and people are still playing with their lives. They're playing with their eternity. And let me tell you, you need to wake up. Wake up. Church, please wake up and arise to your rightful position of praying for these things, because the coming of the Lord is soon. I believe it could happen at any moment.
I believe it can too. And so let's just go back really quick about, you were telling me that there were 60 tons of explosives that were launched in Israel last night.
Toward Israel, absolutely. So the reports coming out of Israel are that there were 60 tons of munitions that came out of Iran and different places toward Israel. 99% of what was sent toward Israel was struck down by the three systems that they have to keep them safe, which is the Iron Dome, you've got David's sling, and the arrow system. So when you look at what is happening right now, these systems, they didn't just work well, they worked perfectly. And also, the United States, the UK, and Jordan helped with this. Jordan helped Israel during this thing. And that came from the Abraham Accords, which was, that was signed during the Trump administration, the Abraham Accords. And it has worked, because a lot of the things were struck down coming over Jordanian territory. So listen, guys. You don't listen to what everybody's saying. You need to listen to the news that's coming out of Israel.
Amen. God keeps bringing back up to my mind this message that I spoke on not too long ago. And it was about Jehoshaphat. And years ago, Jehoshaphat was surrounded. He was the king of Judah. And so he was surrounded by three different nations that were rising up against him. So he was sincerely, seriously outnumbered. And so they get word that these three nations are coming against them to destroy them. And so Jehoshaphat calls for a fast for the whole nation at that point, southern Israel, and says, fast, and let's go before God, get on our faces, and let's intercede for ourselves and inquire of the Lord as to what to do. And what did he say? He says, I don't know what to do. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And he humbled himself as king, and he lay prostrate before all these people and said, we don't have the answers, God. We're overpowered, but our eyes are on you. And so he also says, Lord, do you not remember that when the people came out of Egypt, out of captivity, out of slavery, you had us pass through, and this is found in Deuteronomy, you had us pass through these very three nations and told us not to harm them, to go through and walk in peace and don't bother them. So we left them alone at your command. And now here, these three nations have come to attack us and kill us. He said, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Amen. And this prophet came up from among them and said, you will not have to lift a sword. However, he didn't say, go home and take some NyQuil, because I know you tore up. I know you need your sleep. Go rest in your stone recliners or whatever you had back then. He said, you get up, You get dressed for battle. You get prepared. He tells them where to be. He tells them where the enemy's going to be located. He said, and watch and to see your deliverance comes from the Lord.
Right.
And sure enough, they get up the next day and they go to the battle line. And Jehoshaphat sends out all of these worshipers ahead of the armies. And that sound of worship, come on now, Sherry, that sound of worship confused the armies. And the people started killing themselves. And Israel gets over to a high place and looks down. And the entire three nations had killed themselves. Come on, God. And they never even drew a sword. Because that battle, they were fighting against God himself.
Right.
So here we are right now, 2024. And these nations are aligning up to attack God's holy place.
Yes.
We are fighting a battle against the Lord Almighty.
That's right.
I'm here to tell you, you will not win when you fight against the Lord Almighty.
No way.
But we still have a job, just like Jehoshaphat said. He's like, well, Lord, he didn't say, well, the battle's yours, so we're going to go to bed now. We're going to enjoy this beautiful day. He got up and he worshiped God. And
yes.
He called on the God who is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And that's what we have to do.
Yeah. And the key is he didn't fear. You know, he didn't let himself or the nation operate in fear. And that's what we need our churches to stand up and say. You don't need to fear when you see these things. You don't need to run and hide. You don't need to feel like you need to run to the grocery store. You know, don't do things out of fear. You know, make sure that what you're doing is out of keeping your eyes and your heart toward the Lord. So if you don't have your heart right with Jesus today, you need to get right. You need to know him, and not just know him from afar, know him close up, know him so well that you know what's coming, because he doesn't do anything that he doesn't let his prophets know. Come on, he doesn't do anything he doesn't let his prophets know. That's scripture. And so we need to understand that God is directing us. He's telling us what to do in this hour, that we are not people of fear. We are people of faith. You can't be in a place of fear and a place of faith at the same time. Faith doesn't mean that you don't have any fear. Faith means that you're able to step over it. You're able to step right over fear and still keep going. You're able to step over that fear and say, let me worship God today. Let me go to the house of God. Let me pray. Let me be among God's people. Yes. So that we can gather hands together and we can pray for the nation of Israel and also pray for America. America needs prayer today. Listen, yes. We saw that even in Dearborn, Michigan, there the whole community around there of people that have immigrated there were chanting death to America on our own soil. Come on. What in the world are we doing? We are allowing this to happen. Death to Israel and death to America, they were chanting out of Dearborn. And we have people in Congress that have proclaimed this. Listen, we need to make sure that we are putting people in places of authority that understand scripture. We need to put people in place that, you know, they may not be the best Christian in the world, but at least put somebody in there that knows what God is after. I mean, come on. We are doing some things that are irrational in America. I mean, it doesn't even make sense. Some of the things we're doing, some of the things that we're saying doesn't even make common sense. And I would like to call our people, the people of God, back to common sense, back to understanding that we have a voice. Listen, if you're not using your voice for the Lord, you are being silent in a time when we should not be silent.
That's
this
right.
is not the time to be silent. This is the time to raise your voice, child of God. It is time for you to raise your voice, pastors. It is time for you to raise your voices, apostles, prophets, preachers, teachers, evangelists. Raise your voice in support of what God is supporting right now, and make sure that you have your eyes and your heart toward him.
That's right. And, you know, before we close, I'd like to just say, let's just think about what if we were in Israel's position. We're getting attacked every day. And just imagine being given a land, finally coming out of the Holocaust, and God providing a way for you to have land that He's ordained for you to have. And then you can't even enjoy it. You've got to fight just to live every day. Imagine what they have to walk in not fear and knowing that they're hated by all the surrounding nations around them.
Right.
What, if that was us, America, you know, and England just couldn't get over the fact that we got separated from them and got our own independence. And what if we were still fighting for our independence and our security today?
Right.
Put ourselves in their shoes. What do they expect? What they have to defend themselves. They have no choice.
Well, Elkie, it is almost like they forgot about October 7th. This was all started by October 7th when over 1,200 Israelis were slaughtered, raped, murdered on the fields of Israel. And most of the people they slaughtered were pro-peace. They were pro-Palestinian. They were the ones that wanted two states. So it just doesn't even make sense what people are saying. I'm telling you that we forget so easily what the enemy does, and we want to put pressure on Israel because they're the only rational ones in the situation. But let me tell you that you cannot take your eyes off of what happened October 7th and condemn Israel. You have to remember what happened. You have to remember that a people that went through the Holocaust, and here they were slaughtered in their own land when they thought peace and safety was upon them. Come on.
Yes. Yes. So we, as we close, I would like to read Zechariah chapter 12, verse 2, and a few scriptures from there. This is God saying, I'm going to make Jerusalem a cup that sends all the surrounding peoples reeling. Judah will be besieged as well as Jerusalem. On that day, when all the nations of the earth are gathered against her, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock for all the nations. All who try to move it will injure themselves. And it says, I will keep a watchful eye over the house of Judah, but I will blind all the horses of the nations. Then the leaders of Judah will say in their hearts, the people of Jerusalem are strong because the Lord Almighty is their God. There it is in Scripture. God, you know, God says in the Word of God, He says, I watch over my word to perform it. God is watching over the words that we repeat back to Him. When we pray His scriptures, He says He watches over His word. He's watching over the words we speak. When we speak His word back there and we say, Lord, protect Jerusalem. Lord, according to Your word, we pray this way. We pray according to Psalms 91 for the protection of Israel. Lord, we pray. God says He's watching over His word to perform it. That's a promise to us. So, any closing remarks, Sherry? I'm going to ask that you lead us in prayer, an ending prayer, but do you have any closing remarks before you lead us in prayer?
I really encourage the churches and encourage the people of God to make sure that you're praying for these things. Don't put it on somebody else to do. Make sure it's you. Gather your children, gather your family. Make sure that you are praying for Israel, that you are praying for the peace of Jerusalem, that you are praying that all of these attacks that we're seeing, that God will perform miracles like He did in the Yom Kippur War, like He did in 1948. All of the things that have happened in Israel, He performed miracles that kept them safe. So pray for those miracles to happen in order for His name to be made great among the nations, not just for Israel to see whom they pierced, but also for every single nation to look up and see that Jesus is real.
Absolutely. So before you pray, I just want to say this podcast today or this live was not to make anyone feel bad. It wasn't to make anybody feel condemned if they haven't been praying. It's just a wake-up call for us all to join together and realize that God's given us a voice, just like Sherry said, And now is a time that we join together the beautiful body of Christ and really get serious about our prayer life for Israel and our nation and for souls around the world. Amen.
Amen.
So we love you, and we're sharing this because we want you to join us in prayer, because, you know, when we pray, a three-chord strand isn't easily broken. So all these prayers together, everybody's faith going after the word of God and security and peace, you best believe God's going to hear it and move, right?
That's right.
All right. Well, will you lead us in prayer in closing?
You better believe it.
All right. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we thank you for all of the many blessings you have bestowed upon us, God, all of the blessings in Israel, Lord God, that you kept her last night during a time of unprecedented attack. You were an unprecedented God, and you kept them. You kept your hand over Israel. We have seen it with our own eyes. And God, we just want to say thank you. We bless your holy name. We bless you, and we bless the peace of Jerusalem right now. We ask for that to be made known to every nation. God, that you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that you are the one that keeps Israel. He that watches over Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. And we thank you for that, God. And our purpose today is not to condemn anybody, but we pray the conviction of the Holy Ghost on everybody that's listening, God, that they will feel conviction in their heart to not only pray for Israel, but also to support her, God, and that they will get behind what you're doing, your timeline right now, God, because we are not a people of fear. We are a people of faith. I believe we will see you, Jesus, in my lifetime. I believe I will see you, because you said that when we see these things happening, know that the end is drawing nigh, and we are seeing the very things that you set forth in your word. And God, we will not lay back. We will not put our heads in the sand, but we will let our voices be heard that Jesus, that you are real, you are alive, you are the one that rose from the dead. Not only were you born, not only were you a baby in a manger, but you also grew, and you also went to the cross. You took my sins to the cross, all of our sins to the cross, and your precious blood is just as powerful today as it was over 2,000 years ago. And God, when you rose from the dead, you gave us the right to rise as well. We are those that are risen from the dead as well. And we are those that have a voice in this land, and we will not be silent any longer, Lord God, but we will proclaim that you are Lord and King. And that anybody who's going through whatever the enemy has put on them, whatever the enemy's used to attack them, that you are the answer. God, I thank you because you brought my son out of 10 years of heroin addiction, and you saved him, you sanctified him, and you filled him with the Spirit, Lord God. And I praise you for that today. You are the God, not just of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but you are the God of Sherry and Elkie and Christian and all of those who have put their trust in you. You have provided. You have brought us through. And we thank you, God, because we can depend on you. We have seen you at work. We have seen your miracles, Lord God. We don't believe just because we've read it in the Bible, but we believe because the Bible has come to life in our lifetimes, and in our families. And we thank you, God. We give you the praise and the glory for it. And may your name be made known, what is happening in Israel and in Iran today. May your name be proclaimed among the nations. Send us, God. Send us among the nations. May we go. And I'm asking you for that in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, you just put a prayer on it, sister. Amen. And now we put praise on it. We thank God. I thank God for you and your willingness to come on this live chat. I thank you. I pray that everybody has been touched. If you're not motivated now to pray, I don't know what to tell you to do now. Yeah. But we hope you're motivated to pray. Thank you for joining us with your prayers for Israel. Thank you for being a guest, Lord, Sherry. God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and give you peace. Love you.
Love you.
And we'll see you next time.
Amen.
God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. Share this video if you will. Love you.